Hey friends, this is Pastor Brian Worth. Thanks for listening to my latest sermon. Get more of my teachings on YouTube at Chapel of Change TV and tune in every Sunday on the radio on 99.5 FM for fresh hope.
As we release the youth, let's release the youth. All give it up for all the youth in the house. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How many are blessed today? We want to welcome everybody to our 12:30 service. And let's make some noise for those watching online. Let's thank God for those watching online. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be using as a springboard verses 20 and 21. We're actually going to turn to a number of scriptures in the course of our study, but that will be the first one. As you're turning to Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, we would ask for your prayers because about 20 people from your church, including me and my son Nathaniel, are going to be flying out to the island of Samoa this Thursday. And we're going to be doing ministry there for about 2 weeks. Queenie and Alofa are going as well. And I just got word today that we got approved to minister into the prisons over there. So pray that we come out. Brother Art's going as well. I hear him somewhere. Pray that we come out of prison. We're going to be ministering in churches. We're going to do a outreach in front of the government building there where we're believing to impact a lot of youth. So the Lord is really using your church to impact the world with the fresh hope of the gospel. Someone shout amen to that. So we're super excited. Pray for us. I think it's going to be a long trip on Thursday, like 50 hours or something. I don't know. Nah, not 50 hours, 16 hours. Pray that I get a nice seat. Anybody believe in the power of prayer? All right. Exodus chapter 3, verse 20. I come today on assignment to not just give you a sermon, but to release a greater degree of God's favor into someone's life. There is a door of favor that is opened up over Chapel of Change. And everybody who is part of Chapel of Change should be benefiting from it. Everybody should be benefiting from this favor. And so we're going to look at the Word of God. I'm going to declare the Word of God over you. I'm going to teach you a couple things. But even more so, we're going to declare God's favor over your life. Then we're going to respond to the Lord through our tithes and offerings, and then immediately we'll go into the water baptisms. I want to encourage you to stay for the baptisms. After the baptisms, we'll dismiss with a blessing. Don't ever leave without receiving your blessing from the Lord. But Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, listen to what God says about his people concerning Egypt and Pharaoh. It says, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt." Note that for a moment, because Egypt represented darkness, it represented bondage, it represented slavery. And there are some instances where God says, "I'm going to come down myself and break the bondage of Satan over your life. That I'm going to arise and break that myself over your life." And how many of you know is from time to time we need God to strike some things that are trying to block us or trying to hinder us. We need God to strike some things that try to oppose us in this life. Someone shout amen. He says, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go." Someone say, "Let me go." "And I will give this people favor." Someone say favor. "Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed." Empty-handed. Now I come this afternoon well, less of a sermon and more of an assignment to release some of the favor that there's favor stirring up at Chapel of Change. There's favor stirring up in the spiritual realm at Chapel of Change. And so today I want you to really pay attention, because I'm believing that from this pulpit in the spiritual realm, that God is going to shoot out greater levels of favor, divine favor, into somebody's life. And every now and then when God throw something at you, you got to be able to catch it by faith. You got to be able to grab for it by faith. You got to be able to bring it home by faith. Someone shout amen. So I was thinking about that the natural man, the man who is not saved, the man who does not have the Holy Spirit, is limited to growth in the natural realm. In other words, the natural man, the man who's not saved, the man who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, is limited by his own physical work. He's limited by his own vision. He's limited by his own strategy. He's limited by his own systems. But we that are in Christ Jesus, we that belong to God, we should be operating with a supernatural advantage that breaks the natural limits off of our lives and causes us to flow in the favor of God. We that belong to Jesus, we should be operating with a supernatural advantage. The advantage of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, where God says, exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. That's the type of advantage that we need to be operating in. That's the type of advantage that we need to be flowing in. Exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And you know, we're entering into the second quarter of the year. We just completed the first quarter. And so I want to remind you that our theme here at Chapel of Change is supernatural growth. Someone say supernatural growth. That is growth beyond human comprehension. That is growth beyond human explanation. That is growth beyond natural means. When we say supernatural growth, we're saying we want God to do something in our lives that is beyond human comprehension, that is beyond human explanation, that is beyond natural means. Does anybody want that for their life? I found a scripture that I want to read over your life that captures this supernatural growth. Just listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21, it says, "Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor or glory." Look at what God wants to do in our life. He wants to work in our life to the degree that we display his glory in this world. This is how much God wants to work in your marriage. This is how much God wants to work in your mind. This is how much God wants to work in your life. That people look at your life and they see the glory of God manifested throughout your life. This is what God wants to do. That your life becomes a living example of the glory of God. So when someone's praying for favor and they're saying, "God, I need your favor in my life," then God says, "I want you to look at her because she's an example of my favor." When someone's praying, "Lord, I want you to deliver me. I want you to save my life. It's, you know, messed up. I'm tired of my life and I've come to the end of my rope. Lord, I need another chance." God wants to say, "I want you to look at him because his life is an example of my glory being manifested." Are you following along? So when someone gives their life to the Lord, the end result of that life is that life eventually be manifesting the glory of God. That's what he's saying right there, that I want to do a work in your life to the degree that I lift it up so that all the world could see that I'm still on the throne, that I still have power, that I still have glory. Someone shout amen. This is what God wants to do in our lives. Now pay attention for a couple moments. God has established systems of advantage in his kingdom, that if we learn to tap into those systems of advantage, it will help us to prosper in life. It will help us to be effective in life. It will help us to be fruitful in life. To the degree you tap into God's systems of advantage, you will rise in life. You will rise in significance. You will rise in fruitfulness. You will rise in effectiveness and even prosperity. There are systems of advantages in the kingdom of God. When you learn how to master the systems in the kingdom of God, they will elevate you in life. They will promote you in life. They will deliver you in life. And part of our role as a pastor is to help you see the systems in the kingdom of God and to help you to tap into the systems in the kingdom of God so that you could display God's glory at your home and in your community. Is anybody falling along? One of the systems of advantages in the kingdom of God is what we call divine favor. Someone say divine favor. This is one of the systems of advantages of the kingdom of God. If you learn how to tap in to divine favor is so powerful that it is your supernatural advantage. Someone shout favor. If you learn how to tap into the favor of God, you will walk with supernatural advantage in your life. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be timid anymore. You don't have to be insecure anymore. If you learn how to tap into the system of advantage called favor in the kingdom of God, it will empower you. It will open up doors for you. It will protect you. It will prosper you. You should be walking with this supernatural advantage. You're a child of God. You're marked by the Holy Spirit. You should be walking with the supernatural advantage. A divine favor is so powerful that it will rewrite your story. It will rewrite your story. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter how bad it looks like, if you learn how to tap into the favor of God in time, as you're faithful to prayer, as you're faithful to Bible study, as you're faithful to connection and fellowship, the favor of God will rewrite your story. And a year from now, 2 years from now, you'll look at your life and you won't even be able to identify who you are because the new person has emerged. It rewrites your story. It gives you an advantage. We need the favor of God. In fact, it is only because of the favor of God why I'm standing here today. It's the favor of God that has led me and protected me. It's the favor of God that has opened up doors for me. It is the favor of God that has touched people's hearts for me. It is the favor of God that has protected me when I wasn't looking. Someone shout favor. We need God's favor also because we live in a wicked world. We need the favor of God because the whole world lies in wickedness. We're swimming upstream. Whenever you decide to serve the Lord, whenever you decide to repent from your sins, whenever you decide to join the army of God, I want you to know that you are swimming upstream, and you need to utilize the advantages that God gives you in his promises. If you do not learn how to utilize the advantages of God's promises, woe is you, because you're going to be saved for 5 years and 10 years, and you're going to be still looking like you're not saved. Woe is you if you don't know how to tap into the advantages of the kingdom of God. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven, but you're going to be looking like you just got out of hell. So we need to tap into these advantages. So I want to help you understand, what is divine favor? Let me help you understand. Divine favor is to be given unusual kindness, unusual acceptance and unusual access. Write that down. Unusual kindness, unusual access, and unusual acceptance. This is what it means to have the divine favor of God in your life. Unusual kindness. Anybody remember the story of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament? They were best friends. They had a covenant together. And one day Jonathan died and David went on to be king, the most powerful person in the land. And while David was king, one day his heart was touched and he said in 2 Samuel 9 verse 1, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Look at what happened to the heart of the king. I'm telling you, when somebody ignores their own problem and they start to think about you and they start to think about ways how to better you, you are a blessed man. You are a blessed woman, because this whole world is wicked for someone to ignore their own problems and to ignore their own situation and turn on favor for you. That's from God. He says, "Is there anybody of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" It's unusual acceptance. You remember the story of Pharaoh and Joseph, how he was in Egypt. And how is it that Pharaoh, an Egyptian, chooses Joseph, who is a Hebrew, to be the second most powerful person in the land? Joseph is not an Egyptian. He doesn't walk like them. He doesn't talk like them. He doesn't look like them. He doesn't eat like them. But Pharaoh still accepts him as a leader and elevates him. That's favor. Someone shout favor. A divine favor is also unusual access. Unusual access. In Ezra chapter 7 verse 6, it says, "The king had granted Ezra everything he asked, for the hand of his God was on him." Notice that the king said, "You could have whatever you want." Why? Because the hand of the Lord was on him. That's unusual access before a man with power, or even a woman with power. It's only divine favor that opens that type of door, where the heart of a king is opened up to give you whatever you ask. Someone shout favor. Divine favor. It's unusual access. It's unusual acceptance. It's unusual kindness. This is what we're praying over your life for this next quarter. We're praying over your life. Lord, give you unusual kindness. Lord, give you unusual acceptance. Lord, give you unusual access. Chapel of Change has been experiencing high-level manifestations of favor. Someone shout favor. We've been experiencing high level manifestations of divine favor, particularly with the ranch home that we are purchasing. I don't know if you knew this. I don't think I told you this part of the story, but thanks be to God for the owners, Willie and Stephanie. Lord bless them. Lord bless that family as they retire. May the Lord's favor be upon them. But when we first entered into this discussion, Willie didn't want to use a realtor. He just wanted to sell it on his own. And because my wife is a retired real estate broker, she said, "No, we got to recommend that he get his own realtor, because we don't want to look like we're taking advantage of the situation. We want to keep everything above board, and let's advise him to get his own realtor." So I told Willie, I said, "Willie, I know you don't want to use a realtor, but the wisdom says you should get your own realtor, because that's just the wise thing to do when you're dealing with this much money, right?" And so Willie got his real estate agent and he secured his realtor. And Willie tells me, that at some point in time, the real estate agent told him, "Willie, if you put the ranch home in the open market, you could get more money. If you put the ranch home, if you open it up to bidders, because there's not really too many ranch homes in Long Beach, Willie, you could get more money if you put it to the open market." And Willie said, "I don't want no more money. I want Chapel of Change to have it." Willie said, "I don't want no more money. I want Chapel of Change to have the ranch home. Let me tell you something. When a human heart says they don't want no more money, that's divine favor from God flooding in to Chapel of Change. When a human heart says, I don't want no more money, I got enough money, I want the church to have it, that's favor. Someone shout favor. That's favor. He said, I don't want no more money. I don't want no more money. That's favor. When's the last time you said that? Don't answer that. I pray you get to that place. I pray you get to that place where I don't want no more money. I got enough money in the name of Jesus. I want to give away some money. I want to give away some money. I pray you get to that place in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm praying that favor rises you up to that place. You know that a couple weeks ago, a lot of us went to the house and we prayed over the house and we went in the backyard. And I remember telling Pastor Zach, get the flag, get Chapel of Change flag. I don't know, God gave me the idea, get the flag. And so Pastor Zach got one of our flags, he took it to the house, and in the backyard, we stuck the flag in the ground by faith, the Chapel of Change flag by faith in the name of Jesus. And did you know that after that, Willie went to the front yard, the owner, and he hammered the flag on the tree. That's the house right there. And it has the Chapel of Change flag. We haven't even sealed the deal yet. Escrow hasn't even closed yet. But our flag is on that tree. Someone shall favor. Someone shall favor. Money hasn't even been transferred yet. But someone shall favor. He nailed our flag to the tree. And I didn't... You know, in the last couple of weeks, I didn't want to tell you guys where it was because I know some of y'all will go over there and start marching around the house and all that stuff. But I don't care now. He put the flag there in Jesus' name. If you drive down Atlantic, I want y'all, when you go home today, drive down Atlantic. You turn left on Hunsaker, go down Atlantic, you're going to pass by that flag. Don't go to the house and it's on Atlantic. Don't go to the house and knock on the door. Just praise God when you walk by that flag in Jesus' name. Someone shout favor. Why am I saying this? Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because there's a door of favor opened at Chapel of Change. And everybody connected to Chapel of Change should be benefiting from the spirit of favor that is over Chapel of Change. Everybody should be benefiting from this favor. So why am I saying that? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to push up on you just a little bit. Don't worry. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to push up on you. When we're not around and you go home, you need to examine your life. And you got to be able to look at your life. And if you're not seeing the favor flow as it should, then my encouragement to you is to check your connection. To check your connection. This is why we tell you, don't just come to Sunday service. You need to go to the discipleship groups. You need to go to a Thursday night Bible study that we're going to start here this week on the armor of God. You need to get connected. Someone shall connect it. Because one way the favor flows is it flows. It flows. The favor flows when you're connected. If you're connected to someone that's being favored, guess where that favor is going to flow? It's going to flow to you. There's enough for everybody. There's enough for everybody. Last week I shared with you guys, I wrote in my journal on January 3rd. I said, today, January 3rd, I prayed for my first miracle. We prayed for this ranch home. Why? Because we believe in miracles. And that is a miracle that is happening at this church. And if God could do it for our corporate body, he could do it for individuals in the mighty name of Jesus. Someone shout favor. Now let me share with you briefly how to activate God's favor. Because to a huge degree, you're responsible for the amount of favor that flows in your life. To a huge degree, you are responsible. And if you pay attention and you do what I'm about to teach you today, it's going to unlock the favor that is flowing. Because there's, in the spiritual realm, I'm telling you again, there's favor floating right now. If you do what I'm about to tell you to do, it's going to puncture that balloon, if I can say, and that favor is going to flow over your life. It's going to flow over your life. Are you following along? I'm not going to spend too much time at developing this. You need to catch it. I'm just going to throw it at you, and then we're going to go into we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into water baptisms. But the first way to activate favor is that honor activates favor. Honor activates favor. Honor activates favor. Honor activates favor. Now, I need you to pay attention to this, because if you're most of the generation today have not been taught honor, have not been taught honor. And so this you may not even know this, but this may be holding up the favor from flowing in your life because you're not operating in honor. You probably don't know this, so I'll pray God open up your eyes. But honor activates divine favor. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. Now listen, this verse is not just about biological fathers and mothers. So I don't want you to read and say, well, I'm past that stage already, or maybe respectfully, maybe your parents have passed on and you say, well, this verse doesn't apply to me. No, this verse is not just talking about biological fathers and mothers. It's talking about honoring people of distinction and stature. It's talking about honoring people of distinction and stature. And I want you to notice that honor activates wellness. It activates wellness. If you honor people of distinction and stature, it will activate wellness in your life. It will activate wellness in your life. It activates the favor of God in your life. Are you following along? What is honor? Honor is the celebrating and rewarding of people for their distinction. It is the celebrating and rewarding, write that down, of people for their distinction. Now hear me today, church. All men are equal in Christ, but in reference to achievements and stature, all men are not equal. Hear me today. All women are equal in Christ, but in reference to achievements and stature, all women are not equal. Great men are not great by mistake. It is a testament of sacrifice. It is a testament of endurance. It is a testament of focus. And when you honor that great man or you honor that great woman, it pulls out the blessings from their life. It pulls out the blessings from their life. You want favor to flow? You start honoring people, and it will trigger the favor of God that is upon their life to flow into your life. Are you following along? So I use the illustration of Nicodemus and Jesus. Remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a ruler in the people, and he sneaks to Jesus by nighttime. And when he encounters Jesus, he does not flex on Jesus. He doesn't say, Jesus, I'm a ruler of the people. Sit down and listen to what I'm going to say. No, he doesn't do that. He's wiser than that. He comes to Jesus, and immediately he calls Jesus rabbi. He immediately calls Jesus rabbi. What does that mean? That is a term of honor. He begins to honor Jesus. And immediately after Jesus is being honored, he begins to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he gives one of the greatest mysteries of the kingdom of God right here, where he says, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus didn't even ask about this subject at this time. But he honored Jesus, and Jesus began to spill the beans. He began to release the favor. Honor pulls the blessing out of the individual that you're dealing with. Learn to up your honor, and God will up your favor. Do me a favor. Turn to the next person next to you and say, I honor you. Turn to the other person and say, I honor you. Come on, that's an exercise. Honor pulls blessings. Honor pulls promotion out of people. Yeah, do it as an exercise. I honor you. I want to show you something. David, come up here, David. Give it up for David right here. Give it up for David. Get up for David. Now, I'm sharing this to particularly to all you young men and even women here today. I'm going to use this as an example. Most of us have not been taught honor. I've been blessed because my dad is from the old school, and he grew up in the islands, which have a high honor culture. And so he's been trying to teach us honor since I was a little kid. I didn't listen. But now I'm a believer. And so this is particularly for your young people. I'm gonna give you some tips on how to increase your honor. When someone comes to greet you, typically, you do not stay sit it down. You get up. When someone comes to greet you, if you're seated down, you immediately stand up. Are you following along? Now, when you stand up and you go to greet the person, right? When you go to shake their hands, hear me today. I'm giving you some practical steps here on how to increase your honor. You avoid two things. Number one, you avoid being a loosey-goosey and not just like your hand just like this. Right? Don't do that. You don't want to feel like a jello. Okay? So you avoid being a loosey-goosey, but on the flip side, you avoid trying to break his hand. You don't try to break his hand. You don't know. You ain't got to flex on nobody like that. Are you following along? But you give a firm grip. A firm grip. Not no loosey-goosey and not no breaking no hand. You give a firm grip. And also, you look in his eyes. You look at it. You don't greet him like this. You don't greet him like that. No, you look him in his eyes. It's called poise. I'm telling you, I'm lacing you up because God is about to send you in front of some powerful people, and you need to learn how to operate when you get in front of some. There's etiquette when you get around powerful people. You can't just act any way you want to act and get the favor of God. You better learn how to act. You look him in the eye, you know, glad to meet you. Firm grip. Amen. Give it up for my brother David in Jesus' name. Up your honor. Number two, someone say number two. Integrity activates divine honor. Integrity activates divine honor. What is integrity? It means sameness. It means unbendedness. Not bendable. Integrity, your sameness. Unbendedness, not bendable. It speaks of a person of principles and values. Everybody, listen. You want to become favorable by God, you got to increase your value system. You got to strengthen your value system. You got to allow the principles of God to start to guide you and to mold you and to shape you. Don't just listen to the message. Let the message mold you and shape you and rebuke you and correct you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Now, children here are more than just biological children. Don't just get caught up in biological children. It can refer to anything that God has birthed into your life that he wants to bring out. Anything that God has birthed into your heart. So for some of y'all, God has birthed visions in your heart. He has birthed a business into your heart. He has birthed a ministry into your heart. He's given you an idea. He's given you an idea of a book. He's given you an idea of a business, and he wants to bring it out. And he's saying if you walk in integrity, everything that comes out of you will be favored. Are you following along? Unbendedness, not wavering. You don't have a jellyfish spine. You're straight up. You don't have a split personality. You cannot have a split personality and have the favor of God shine upon your life. You got to be unbendable. You got to be a person of integrity. You got to be the same person at home that you are at church, that you are at work, that you are at school, that you are at the Laker game. Hello, somebody. You got to be the same person. Lord, help us to be the same person. Lord, we repent from split personalities in the mighty name of Jesus. Someone shout amen. Here's the last one. And I've been teaching you this last one in layers. But number three is relationships activate divine favor. Relationships activate divine favor. been pounding the pavement with this divine relationships, destiny relationships. Relationships are advantageous connections. Advantageous connections. You are as favored as your relationships. You are as favored as your relationships. Remember, I taught you, spiritual warfare 101 is when the devil comes to destroy you. The first thing that he does is he surveys your life to see who loves you, see who has the power to bail you out, and he creates a wedge in between them. Why? Because he's seeking to isolate you. He's seeking to get the people who love you that had that relationship out of your life because he's seeking to destroy you. There are some relationships in your life you need to swallow your pride and never argue with that person ever again. There are some relationships in your life that God has designed to help you, to elevate you, to promote you, to anoint you. And don't be like Lot. Remember Lot? Lot and Abraham. Abraham was the one called by God, and Lot, he knew that Abraham was called, so the Bible says Lot followed Abraham. He followed Abraham, and in time, Lot became as blessed as Abraham. But then there was an argument between Lot's people and Abraham's people, and Lot did not learn his lesson. So Abraham stepped in and said, you know what? We don't need to be fighting this way. Let's just choose sides, and I'm going to give you the ability to choose whatever land that you want to pick. And so Lot did not learn that he needed to swallow his pride. So he said, I'm going to pick this good land. And he said, go ahead and pick the land. And in a couple days, that brother was in trouble because he separated from Abraham. You are as prosperous as your relationships. Listen to this. I'm going to teach you something. In Psalms 115, verse 16, it says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. But the earth he has given to mankind. Get this. But the earth he has given to mankind. In other words, God has given the operations of this world to man. God has given the operations to the world to man. Hear me today. Destiny fulfillment is man dependent. Destiny fulfillment, when I say man, I don't just mean exclusively man, I mean people, even including women. A destiny fulfillment is man dependent. In other words, God in his sovereignty has chosen to use people to help you fulfill his calling upon your life. Your destiny is man dependent. That's why we're pounding the pavement that you got to learn how to love. You got to learn how to forgive. You got to learn how to have relational intelligence. Even Jesus needed the favor of man to be able to fulfill the Father's calling upon his life. You remember Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let me remind you. Stop saying you don't need anyone. Let me remind you, stop saying you can do it on your own. No, God has designed it that you be part of the body of Christ. And the finger can't say to the arm that I don't need you. And the arm can't say to the foot that I don't need you. Because together we are called to represent Jesus to this world. Destiny is man dependent. If you're new here and we ever get a chance to talk at length, this is what I'm going to tell you. One of the first things I tell every new person, if it's a female, I say, one of the things I say, you need to get connected to either Irene, you need to get connected to either Sandy, you need to get connected to either Laura, you need to get connected to one of the lady leaders. You need to get connected. Why am I saying that? I've given out people's numbers without even their permission. I'm trying to help you out. If you're a man, immediately I would say, you need to get connected to Raymond. You need to get connected to Victor. You need to get connected to Zach or Daniel. Why am I saying that? It's because destiny is man dependent. The devil's trying to isolate you because he knows if he could isolate you, he could whoop you every time. Destiny is man dependent. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to be connected. Relationships activate divine favor. Angels don't sign signatures. People sign signatures. Angels don't sign signatures. People sign signatures. One person's signature can change your next 10 years. One person of One endorsement from a person of distinction can transform your entire life. One signature. You know how many signatures we had to get for that ranch home to get to the escrow stage that we're at now? We had to get the signature of the treasurer of the Southern California Board. I had to talk to a vice president of a bank. I had to get the signature of the vice president of the bank. I had to get a signature from Sister Marianne, who's in the church. I couldn't even do it without her signature. What if she didn't like me? What if I offended her? What if I got on her nerves? This is how the enemy works. But on the flip side, this is how God works. He increases our relational intelligence. He gets us to develop in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And as we do that, we grow together. And as we establish healthy relationships, God's favor is released into our life. I shared with you this story at our Faith and Business Expo, but I'm going to share it for those who were not there. I have one of my friends is Pastor Vlad Savchek. He's the pastor of Hungry Generation in Washington. And he texted me about a year ago. He said that I'm preaching in San Bernardino. And he said, do you want to connect for a couple minutes? And I said, yeah. And I put all my work to the side. And I drove all the way to San Bernardino because you got to invest in relationships. You got to invest in relationships. Drove all the way out there by myself. I went to San Bernardino, and I was actually waiting in the parking lot, texting him, you know, where's he at? He's in the hotel room, da-da-da. And finally, I get to the church, and I didn't realize how big the church was. It's one of the biggest churches in California with thousands of people, and the pastor is like a level 5 leader. I've never met him in person to that point, but I've seen him online because he's just a level 5 type of leader. And there I was in the lobby with thousands of people like walking around, and I said to myself, I'm never going to see Vlad now because there's just too many people. How am I going to get to him? And I sat there, and lo and behold, I saw Vlad walking with a group of security from the church. And they walked by me, and Vlad saw me, and Vlad comes up to me, and he hugs me, and he tells me, you want to come with us? And I said, sure. So I start walking with Vlad in this group, and the security is looking at me funny because they don't know who I am. They think I'm just somebody out of the crowd, and so I'm kind of feeling a little bit out of place, so I'm thinking I got to do something to fit in. And the Lord gave me wisdom. I said, I'm going to be Vlad's chief of security. I said, I got a sports jacket on. I'm going to serve the man of God. Like, I know what it means to need security, right? I'm going to be my best serving this man of God. So I buttoned up my jacket like this, and I straightened up my back, and I started leading the way. I started opening up doors from him. We're taking a tour around this big old mega church, right? And I'm looking like I know what I'm doing. The service starts. They escort me to the front row. There's thousands of people there. I get in the front row. I'm sitting almost by Vlad, but I'm not closing my eyes for worship because I'm security. I'm looking, and I'm like this. I'm looking around. Everybody's got their eyes closed. I'm looking around. I'm really serving the man of God. And I turn back, and about 5 rows backwards, I see Sister Yvonne in another church. And she takes a picture of me. She's like, what are you doing at another person's church? The Holy Spirit will tell on you. So he preaches a powerful sermon. We go after service to the lobby, and he's signing his books, and I'm right there. I'm right there serving him. I'm guiding the line. I'm moving people around, right, and I'm moving people around. And then I see another one of our church members, sister over there. She's in line. She's looking at me like, what is Pastor Brian doing? But I'm serving away. All right, you're done? All right, cool. Let's go. Let's walk. Okay, get out the way. Let's go. We're going over there. And they take us to the back. We get into the pastor's office, and then they say, no, 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 go to the back pastor's office. He had 2 offices. We go to the back office, and there's a big table there. And they begin to feed us a 5-course meal. And I sit there, next to Pastor Vlad, and in front of me is the lead pastor. And for about an hour and a half, I get the undivided attention of the lead pastor, and he's teaching me leadership nuggets. He's teaching me wisdom. He's teaching me how he grew his church. I mean, I'm getting a free leadership seminar eating a prime rib steak in front of this individual. And I kid you not, after that dinner, the pastor looks at me and says, "So tell me, how do you work for Pastor Vlad again?" And I didn't say nothing, but inside I screamed, "Favor!" Someone shout favor! Someone shout favor! Someone shout favor! Someone shout favor! Listen, bow your heads this afternoon. Bow your heads this afternoon. Lift up your hands to the Lord. And what I'm going to do is I want to just speak God's favor over your life. I want to impart new grace of favor into your life in the name of Jesus. I'm going to speak the word over your life, and I'm going to pray over everybody here in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that God is about to open up a door. God is about to open up a door for someone. God is about to open up a door. Just bow your heads for a moment. And I'm going to speak this over your life. I'm going to declare this over your life. May the Lord God give you this year unusual kindness. May the Lord God give you unusual acceptance. May the Lord give you unusual access. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May the Lord grant unto you greater degrees of favor in this quarter. May the favor of God overtake you this quarter. May the favor of God be manifested in your life this quarter. May the favor of God be released into your marriage. May the favor of God be released into your finances. May the favor of God be released into your home in greater measures. The grace of favor be released into your life. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we don't want to take for granted that everybody here is saved. The most important relationship that you need is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can see the kingdom without the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He is the door, the way, the truth, and the life." Most important relationship you'll ever have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot go to heaven without that relationship. Just for a moment, I want us to bow our heads and our hearts, and I want you to think about if you're not right with God, or you need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to start your relationship with the Lord Jesus. I want you to think about if that's you. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're here today and you need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe you messed up and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, we want to pray with you right where you're at. With everybody remaining in an atmosphere of prayer, if that is you, I want to lead you in prayer right where you're at. And I'm going to ask that you just stand up to your feet right where you're at. If you need to surrender to the Lord, I see you. Anyone else need to surrender to the Lord? I see you in Jesus' name. I see you in the back in Jesus' name. God brought you here for a reason. God brought you here for a reason. I see you right now in the name of Jesus. Anyone else that needs to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up on your feet right now. Just pray a simple prayer. Lead you in a simple prayer, and then we'll pray over you. Hallelujah, Lord. Everybody else, I ask that you just remain in an atmosphere of prayer. God is not done talking to you. Hallelujah, Lord. For those of you who stood up, I want to ask that you just from your heart say this prayer with me. And after we pray together, I'm going to pray for you. Say this prayer with me. Lord God, I am sorry I messed up, but today I surrender to you. Today I repent from my sins and I turn back to you. I put my faith in you, Jesus, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to serve you. Help me to follow you. Today, I surrender in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you, all those who stood up. I just want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who stood up today. Lord, I thank you for their salvation, O Lord God. I thank you that your word says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall not be put to shame. Father, I pray for them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I pray for them. Draw them closer to you, Lord God. I pray for them. Give them a hunger for your word, a hunger for your spirit, a hunger for your church, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you help them to take steps of faith in which they will develop, Lord God. Steps of faith, Lord God. Strengthen them, O Lord God. Father, I pray for everybody underneath the sound of my voice. I thank you for helping us, Lord. I thank you that you have called us into your kingdom, O God. I thank you that you have given us your favor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you surrendered your life to the Lord, we want to serve the Lord with you. Make sure you get connected with us so that we can give you your next steps to go to Bible study and even prayer. At this time, whoever is going to be baptized, it is your cue to get ready. But for everybody else, we're going to prepare to give our offering to the Lord. We're going to prepare to respond to the Lord through our tithes and our offerings. I want to call the ushers up forward as we prepare to give. Remember, we give to the Lord out of gratitude. We give to the Lord out of thankfulness. We give to the Lord because he first gave to us. So if the ushers can prepare and come down to the aisle, a couple announcements to make. We are still taking pledges for our women's home. So in your bulletin on the right side, there's a place where you could write your pledge. You could rip it off and put it in the offering basket. So you could do that. If you were not here last week and you want to give your resurrection offering, you can do so today as well. There are several ways you can give. You can give through an envelope. You could scan to give, which we'll put the flyer up on the screen. Also, after service, there's a debit machine. You can give through a debit card after service. Also, we're selling my books, my autobiography, as a fundraiser for our women's home. So if you have not bought one of my autobiographies after service, you can get one there. All the proceeds will go to our women's home. Even if you did get one, I encourage you to get another one. Use it as an evangelistic tool. This Thursday, we are starting a new study on the armor of God. Someone say armor of God. If you're part of Chapel of Change, listen, I want you to participate in this Bible study. I'm encouraging you to come out and learn with us and grow with us. Your transformation is dependent upon your knowledge of the scriptures. It is dependent upon your knowledge of the scriptures. So we're going to teach you about the armor of God so that you could learn how to overcome the devil's attacks upon your life. I do not want you to be a victim any longer. I want you to learn your authority. I want you to learn about the armor you have in Christ Jesus. And that begins this Thursday at 7:15. So make sure you sign up for that. Also, if you have any if you want to serve at our church, make sure you sign up to serve. We're looking for ushers and greeters, as well as children's ministries. So we're going to pray over the offering. We're going to collect the offering. And then we're going to proceed with the water baptism. And then after water baptism, we're going to dismiss with a blessing. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the ability to give. We worship you through our giving. Receive these funds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give unto the Lord.